Hello and welcome to Speed Learning English, your podcast for more professional and smarter English. I hope you're all having fun with this podcast. Hi Richard, how are you? Are you having fun?
Hello Sven. Yes, I'm having fun. It's always a pleasure to record these podcasts with you.
The pleasure is mine. And one day we have to make a podcast episode on these ing words. So when do I ask, do you have fun? Are you having fun? Etc. So let's keep in mind to make a podcast episode on that topic one day also.
Okay.
I came across a very, very funny book. Adam Fletcher, How to Be German in 50 Easy Steps. This book is bilingual. So if you have the book in your hand and you flip it, you get the German version. So you can read it either in English or in German, Adam Fletcher. And Adam Fletcher came to Germany, met his wife. I mean, he didn't meet her. It was not his wife when they met first, but they decided to get married. So he decided to stay in Germany and he tried to become as German as possible. Yes, and I came across a lot of funny attitudes Germans seem to have. So, for example, put on your house shoes. Do you have house shoes?
Yes, I have house shoes.
You have house shoes. You are so German. Why do you have house shoes? I mean, okay, you have them, but do you also wear them?
Yes, of course. Whenever I enter the house, I have to put on my house shoes. And that's how I was raised. And I believe it's I have to break the illusion a bit, but that's not only bound to Germany or Germans. It's in several countries and several cultures. Obviously, you have these cultures where they take off their shoes and then they walk barefooted in the house or in the flat. But obviously, we cannot do this all over the year because of our cold, cold winter, as we have experienced this year. But it's not really only bound to Germany, but I understand this stereotype. yes.
Do you have indoor and outdoor house shoes?
Then I think
if you have to go to the bin, yes, to the garbage bin, for example, do you have outdoor house shoes?
I don't want to sound picky because I have them. I was thinking about the concept as you alluded to it, and the easiest way actually would be to just wear normal shoes when you're going outside, and then when you're inside to wear your house shoes. But yes, I have two house shoes separately, for one that I use. For example, I can tell you one situation. During COVID, the postman, so in Germany, DHL, they have this regulation or new rule that they will won't come up to your flat. Mm-hmm. So they will just drop your parcel at the gate. And then, so you have to then go down the steps. And for that, I always use my outdoor house shoes. So yes, I have them. But as you have introduced this concept to me, the most sensible way would just put on your normal outdoor shoes. Yeah, no need for it, but it's really German. That's true.
Which takes a lot longer to put on your regular shoes. So maybe that's the reason for outdoor house shoes. Well, you said it's impossible to go barefoot here during the whole year. In fact, I walk barefoot from January to December. And when I go outside and there's snow, I walk barefoot. If I have to put the garbage bin to the street and it's snow all over, I go barefoot because it's easier for me to clean my feet instead of my house shoes.
So I have a question, Sven. Yes, that's true. When was the last time you took out the garbage to the dustbin?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. So yes. The weather's quite cold lately. Yes. Did you walk out barefoot?
Yes, sure. Sure. I go running barefoot. When I do some running for half an hour, I run barefoot. My feet
are
very...
Is there another reason behind that? Or is this just...
Well, it's good for my spine.
Uh-huh.
Because I avoid to walk with the... Now we come to anatomic vocabulary. So normally when you wear feet. I wear feet. Yes. Okay. Normally I have my feet with me normally. And if I walk and start walking with die Ferse?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I touch the ground with the tile first. This is not very good for your spinal. Oh,
yeah. And your your heel makes contact first. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. So and this is what is avoided if you walk barefoot, because you can't trust the shoe. And if you run and your heel touches the ground first, all the time, this is quite.
It's bad for your knees because the whole pressure will get to your kneecaps.
Yeah, and it goes up to the hips and to the back, and it's just, yeah, I feel more comfortable walking barefoot.
And yeah, I had the same problem, and I talked to my, I have a friend that studied sport, or sports, I think, sports science, I think. He's now a physiotherapist, and he told me that you have to look out for that. Don't let your heel be the first contact to the floor, and always try to avoid it. That's a good point.
Yes, and I came across this a couple of years ago when I read the book Born to Run,
mm-hmm.
which is about a Mexican tribal population,
mm-hmm.
and they solve all problems by running away. So they can they can run 50 or 100 kilometers in one round barefoot. And I simply feel more comfortable being barefoot. I also wear barefoot shoes wherever I can, and I don't have any problems walking barefoot in the snow. But dear listener, don't start walking barefoot in snow or in hot weather if you have not practiced walking barefoot in normal weather conditions, because this can damage your feet tremendously. So it is a 5 or 7 year training that I have with my feet. Yeah, so my feet are quite
experienced and used to that.
That's right. Yeah, they are quite tough. Mm-hmm. Okay. So even if we walk at the beach and it's a stony beach, I can walk there barefoot, and my wife, she's crying and shouting and screaming, and it's very painful for her, but I don't feel anything. Yeah. I think I could even extinguish a cigarette with my feet without feeling anything, because I've got this special skin part that develops if you walk a lot barefoot. Yeah. So that's very anatomic vocabulary in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we just came to the first part that makes people sound German. We have a few more minutes. Let's talk about Apfelschorle, Apfelsaftschorle.
Mm-hmm.
This is typical German.
This is German. This is typically German. Yes.
This is typically German, and believe me or not, when I'm looking for a freelancer to work for the Speed Learning Academy, and they always say, "Well, I speak German," and then I contact them, and sometimes I get answers, and I have the impression that Google helped them to speak German. So I always ask them, well, tell me, what is Apfelsaftschorle? And if they can explain what Apfelsaftschorle is in German, I know exactly that German is good enough to communicate in German, because then it's normal Germans living abroad somewhere in, let's say, India or Greece or wherever.
Yeah. That's a good test.
Yeah, that's right. So Apfelsaftschorle, if somebody comes to Germany and wants to drink Apfelsaftschorle, this is sparkling water with apple juice.
Now you have given your test away. But
I have given you what?
You have given the test away.
Oh, yes.
One of your aspirants
but
listening.
I explained it in English, so they have to translate it into German.
Ah, yes.
And the abbreviation that is commonly used by people is A-Saftschorle, which is A-Juice-Schorle. How would you translate Schorle? There's no English translation for Schorle, is it?
No, there's no English. But normally when you think of German phrases, there is there's no translation for that.
Let's ask Google. Hey Google, what is Schorle in English?
Spritzer.
Did you hear that?
Spritzer. Yeah.
Spritzer.
That's funny.
Spritzer. So you have to say Spritzer. I mean, nobody will understand it. I'd like to have an A juice Spritzer. That's funny. We have to make sure that this Spritzer will come into the Encyclopedia Britannica. Spritzer. Okay. Yes. I mean, this is great because it correlates with COVID-19 vaccinating. Yeah, we love Spritzer. Yeah, we make a spritz tour to the vaccination center. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Now, let's continue with these how to be German things next week in the next episode. Just to have some ideas for you. The first one is watch Tatort. Then recycle, which is not, I mean, meanwhile, it's not typical German. Fenster auf Kipp. So Kipp.
Oh, these 2 points, I have to interrupt you there, are very German. These 2 points are very German. To recycle, and it's not just to recycle, but the way we recycle our bins, or how we structure and organize our bins. It's very German. Very
okay.
German.
Yes, and window on Kipp also. And
it's also German, as we have seen in the context of COVID, where other European countries were copying the concept of Fenster Kipp, which is absolutely not understandable if you're a German, that other people wouldn't do that just on the normal basis. But
so we are exporting new habits to other countries. We should charge them for kipping their windows, so, like Greece could charge people for using democracy or something. Yeah, yes. And the final thing is, and this is probably the weirdest habit Germans have, watch Dinner for One on New Year's Eve. I mean, it's an English sketch, an English theater play, and it's in English, and in Germany, people watch it every New Year's Eve. So let's talk about these phenomenons, about this attitudes, about this habits next week. And until then, Richard, have a great time.
Thank you, Sven. It's always a pleasure to record this podcast with you.
I just want to go through some apparently typical German phenomenon ideas. thanks. How do you pronounce phenomena? Phenomenum.
My brain is telling me to use phenomenal, but then you have a problem at the end of the sentence because you need another word there. So now you have there's cut yet. phenomenal. Das ist ein AL, aber phenomena. Also ich habe jetzt tatsächlich noch nie im Englischen Phänomene.
Den Plural von Phänomen.
Ja, ja, weil es ist, wenn man ja ein Phänomen beschreibt, dann ist es ja so einzigartig, dass es eine Sache ist.
Das stimmt eigentlich. Und packen wir es einfach zu den
Phänomenen. Was ist denn das Plural von Phänomen? Achso, ja, Phänomena.
Phänomene.
Okay. Ja, Phänomene. Ah, das sind.
Aber das ist so wie mit Information und Informationen, ja. Glaube ich, oder?
Also, das ist jetzt, wahrscheinlich gibt es einen Ausdruck, aber ich benutze den nicht.
Es ist einfach ein Phänomen.
Ja.
Dieses
Phänomen. Wenn es ein Phänomen ist, ist es halt einzigartig.
Ja, ein phänomenales Phänomen, diese Grammatik. Na gut. Okay. Dann.
Ah, und im Englischen doppelt man das nicht. Phenomenal, Phenomenum gibt es nicht.
Okay. Dann lassen wir es weg.
Machen. Weil das wäre ja dann wieder Double Down, würde man im Englischen sagen. Man,
ja.
Versucht es nochmal zu sagen, obwohl es ja schon einzigartig ist.
Ja, genau. Gut, dann nehme ich einfach ein anderes Wort.
Mhm.